Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We really are looking at what we can build upon, because we did a lot of good things in this game. I thought our offense operated really well for most of the game, and obviously Justin threw the ball really well, ran the ball really well. I thought our defense, with all the injuries, stepped up to the plate, did a really good job, you know, holding the passing game down, and excellent in the running game as well. You know, and then we just got to make sure we execute down the stretch. And, if we do that, good things are going to happen.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. That is the voice of Matt Eberflus. He's the head coach of the Bears. And he was on our sister station, WBBM, this morning bragging about how well they did in that loss. No, he wasn't. But he was, trying to put a positive spin on it. They were proud of the good, I guess you'd say, in that loss.
He's good at staying consistent. He is that. He's very positive. He's very upbeat. He offers constructive criticism. I have to go back to it, though. It's why what he said about Equanimeous St. Brown stood out, because rarely does a guy known for his positivity call out a player like that when it's at least a good football debate on what happened on that interception. Quarterback stared down the receiver too long. The receiver ran a lousy route, and the cornerback, reading the quarterback, made the play that clinched the victory for the Packers the way it turned out. I want to get back to what we were talking about before we get back to the phone lines.
Yep.
So this idea about,
Allen Williams needs to go.
Allen Williams needs to go, and the defense being limited. It underscores what we've been saying about the front seven. It's Jack Sanborn and friends lately. He had another great game. He was everywhere. 10 tackles. We can talk about him all day long and not give him too much praise. But they're limited up front. They need changes. They need talent. They need depth. So the Bears are right now scheduled to pick second. Unlikely that they'll drop out of the top five. They could pick as high as second or third, likely. Brad Biggs, as we talked to Biggsy in his 10 thoughts this morning, had a very interesting line in there about draft position. I'm a little skeptical of the idea the Bears would be able to turn their high pick into a bounty of first-round picks. I don't know that this quarterback draft class is good enough that we would see that kind of movement. Interesting stuff, Biggsy points out, because he's right. He's right. And you also balance that reality, Mully, with the need, the glaring need for a defensive upgrade up front. And you look at Jalen Carter, the Georgia defensive tackle, who, by the way, did you see him pick up Jaden Daniels the other day?
Yeah.
With one arm like, hey, come here, son.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. He's a generational talent at defensive tackle. Will Anderson from Alabama is an edge rusher who looks like he's ready to make an immediate impact. If you're staring at the possibility, and we have plenty of time to debate this, but it's December 5th. If you're staring at the possibility of getting one of those two guys or trading down for a not-so-attractive bounty, as Biggsy referred to it, because nobody's that motivated to get a quarterback they're not sure about, the Bears may finish in the, where they finish, pick third overall, second overall, and stay there and get their defensive lineman. How would people feel about that? I don't know. But I think that's a possibility you can't rule out given the way this draft is looking at the quarterback position.
Again, I respectfully would say that we haven't even begun the draft process. You look at last year and you look at the first three quarterbacks that were taken. I'm talking about the Fields year, excuse me, 2 years ago. And obviously it was the Trevor Lawrence draft. Everyone was waiting for Trevor Lawrence. You thought Fields would be the second quarterback taken, but somehow it ended up being Zach Wilson. Everybody, oh my God, look at Zach Wilson. He was kind of a product of that, of all of the kind of everything from the combine through the workouts and all that stuff. Trey Lance wound up being the third quarterback, and that was where the bounty of picks went for him. And that was well before the draft, so you don't even know what they were thinking in San Francisco. But I think that there will be, if the quarterbacks are not lined up, there will be a lean toward that because that's such an important position. So I don't know if the top players in the draft have yet to reveal themselves. And I think what you're saying is accurate. There are two really premier, a defensive tackle and a defensive end that look like they're going to. Now, again, you got to get through the draft process. You got to get through the bowl season and make sure everyone's healthy and available to go. That influences things too. So who was the Notre Dame kid, the linebacker that blew out his knee in a bowl game? That things happen. We don't know yet who's lined up where and how you're going to go about it. But
Jalen Smith.
I would say at this point, it does appear that the Bears are going to be able to get a really good player at the top of the draft. Now, they once traded up to the number two pick in the draft and took a quarterback that
not so good.
There was a year where a Hall of Fame quarterback came off the books and they didn't get him.
Well, that was Matt Nagy's fault too.
I mean, do we know enough about the draft meister? Do we know enough about what they're going to be able to do in the offseason to know what their need level is? I just think there's so much time. This idea that everyone's getting all worked up.
I agree with you. You know I do. I just am pointing out the fact that when Big Z references
that. What if
it's
not that, what everyone thinks?
What else? Yeah. And also in the context of over the weekend, we saw Jalen Carter have the kind of performance against LSU and stand out in a way that makes you think, wow, I want one of those.
Right. No question about that. 312-644-6767. We'll start with Chad. He's in Dixon. Hey, Chad.
Hi, how you doing? The previous caller covered a little bit of what one of my concerns or questions for comments, what you guys think was even through a full staff defense of when Roquan Smith, Brisker, Gordon, Jalen Johnson, you know, having those, the defense, I question, you know, some of the calls, they seem to be predictable and lack momentum to be able to even capitalize on momentum. And even yesterday, the jet sweeps and the man in motion and the setting of the edge, I thought they struggled with, and ultimately one of the plays for the touchdown was a in motion play that they tested out, Green Bay tested out earlier in the game that they seemed to fail on, which could be personnel. But through the year, I guess I've seen the defense, to me anyway, look very predictable and be in predictable situations and lack momentum. To capitalize on momentum if they ever had any. And two, the second thing, which is you may have covered as well, as far as the Justin Fields thing and the interceptions, I actually thought myself, maybe this wasn't it, but I thought the receiver should have drove the route differently. Pettis, I thought, sat on a route that he should have came to, even though it was maybe a questionable throw, but if he made a play and drove into the ball, the same with St. Brown.
Right.
I think those both possibly are different settings. You know, so I guess that's my comments with you guys, or the questions, and see what you guys think on that. Thank you.
Thanks, Chad. Appreciate that.
Thanks, Chad.
I mean, this is the problem, and I really think it's important to remember it. They traded away their pass rusher earlier in the year. They haven't been able to get sacks on the defensive line. He wasn't doing it, but at least he was demanding a double team. So they trade Robert Quinn. Then they trade Roquan Smith. And now everybody is sitting there like, look, they can't get any pressure. Why aren't they blitzing? Well, in that game, you were down three members of the secondary. You're playing Brett Favre. I don't know how you're changing up Brett Favre. You're playing Aaron Rodgers. I don't know how you're changing up your defense to give him different looks when you got a bunch of guys that haven't been with you all year, and you're moving guys in and out of position, and now why aren't you blitzing? Because they don't have the personnel to do what you want them to do. It's easy to blame the coach. Yes, everything looks simple. They are challenged not just with the talent gap, but with injury.
Right.
They're moving
attrition guys
up, yeah. and they don't have it is virtually impossible to do what you want done in turn when you are playing a cover two defense, and all of a sudden now we're going to come with the blitzes and we're going to play the 46.
No.
It's just not reasonable to expect.
Two things. You began the season with four players on your defense that you would consider Pro Bowl caliber players. Eddie Jackson, Jalen Johnson, Roquan Smith, and Robert Quinn.
Yeah.
You traded two of them. You lost a third to an injury.
Yeah.
And Jalen Johnson's the last man standing.
That's right.
As far as a guy you could envision being at that level of play, that limits what you're able to do schematically. Also, let's not kid ourselves. Matt Eberflus did not come to Chicago known as a schematic genius. This is not somebody who has ever bragged about, the complexity of the cover two. This is a defense that you need talent to make plays. The beauty, frankly, is in its simplicity. You're not asking guys to do too much because you're asking them to react more than think. And ideally, you have players whose reactions and are going to be playing into their athleticism and instincts and all those things. You don't have that roster yet, so you're going to struggle. You certainly don't want to blitz and put them in bad situations.
So Quinn only had one sack when he was here with the Bears. A texter wants to know, he's still leading the Bears in sacks. I mean, career-wise, yeah. The Bears have 7.5 sacks from their defensive line. Their leading sacker is Jaquan Brisker, who has missed the last two games with a concussion. He's their leading sacker. He has 3. Okay,
you know,
Roquan is second with 2.5. Yeah. And Roquan still leads them in tackles, which he will this year, most likely, because they haven't had time to get Jack Sanborn.
He'll catch him, I think. It's hard for me to come down too hard on Alan Williams not pushing the right buttons strategically because of what he's working with.
Exactly. That's all. That's the only point you want to make. And you know, as far as Richard Hightower is concerned, Dustin trying to kick him out, this is a guy that, I don't know, did he spoil the water for the kicker somehow? This is a guy that is working. When you are working with special teams, those players will graduate into the starting lineup and you will have new guys stepping in. So you're talking about special teams with third, fourth string players on it.
Exactly.
So Dustin, lay off.
Lay off.
Did you catch him yesterday by chance? Missed field goal or the field goal that was touched, and he was like looking around. Did you catch that?
No, I did not see that.
He's on the sidelines, and he's like, if you're watching on Twitch, he's looking up in the stand. Like, I was like, is he looking for a new kicker? Like, he was like looking around trying to like figure out what in the heck just what happened on that play.
It was very unexpected. It was very surprised. I think everybody wondered, was it
blocked?
But
something's up. The first field goal that they did make didn't look.
It didn't look right.
Didn't look right.
Something's wrong.
They missed
the
extra point. And now you missed. You had a field goal.
Okay, you can get on your Hightower kick, and we can talk about.
I didn't say any. You said Hightower kick. You started it. Now you're piling on.
You
want to
go?
Piling on. He started it. And look, Alan Williams deserves whatever callers want to criticize him. The coordinator that I was most disappointed in yesterday was my guy Getsy. I think because.
Wow. Fire Getsy
from David Hall? No. I wanted him to stay aggressive. I wanted him to continue to call the game. Let's not overlook the fact the Bears went into the fourth quarter with a 19-10 lead.
Oh, boy.
Okay? They gave up 18 points in the fourth quarter, and only because of the Jeff Saturday coach Colts were they not the worst team in the fourth quarter yesterday. But they blew a lead because I think defensively they're limited, but offensively – they got conservative and played it safe.
Did you hear what Rodgers said about that lead? He said he was sure a lot of the people in the building were pleased with that lead, and he was one of them.
I know.
He had them right where he wanted them.
I like that answer, though. I have to say.
But it's funny because he acts like he actually was the reason.
I know,
they won.
But he no definitely, he's, he, that's, in, that's on brand for him. He definitely, everything, he was so. Then, you know, magnanimous after the game, he's going to salute the crowd and thank the masses for showing up all these years to watch me beat you. And, oh, I loved Chicago. Oh, WGN Bozo was my favorite show.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Give me a break.
Apparently he watched Ray Rayner, and I'm supposed to feel
no
warm
way
for him.
No way already. I hope it was his last game, even though I think that there's something to be said for what he brought to the rivalry. He leaned into it.
Yes.
It was fun.
Yes.
It is fun when he...
He's got to be proud of those numbers of absolute abject humiliation of the Bears. That's good.
It makes it more compelling when he is doing these things.
Yes. I just hope they miss him at some point.
At some point.
You know, when the flower is trying to get a quarterback named Love to...
Well, yesterday we got a glimpse of that. We got a glimpse of that. In the moral victory Monday formation that we have been in pretty much all season long, I think you look at that takeaway is that yesterday's loss to the Packers felt a little differently because it was the first time in a while you felt like, well, this is trending in the right direction.
312-644-6767. Let's try Frank. Frank is downtown. Hi, Frank.
Hi, guys. Big fan of the show.
Bless you.
Thanks, Frank.
Hey, Molly, by the way, I'm originally from the South Side, St. Paul's Parish. I always say the rosary for our White Sox all the time.
Oh,
so,
boy. God bless you. They need it.
You know, this is just a comment that I like to say with the situation, how the season's going. If we got either the second or third pick in the draft, and there's supposedly at least three quarterbacks in college, and, you know, Houston's going to take one of them. You know, I'd put the, you know, right before the draft, I think I'd have to put the auctions, Poles is going to have to put the auction sign up for that pick.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, I mean, we have nothing outside of, you know, on defense, you got some young players, you got Sanborn, you got Brisker, you know, but in the line is, I mean, you need numbers, basically what I'm saying. And the thing is, if you could get lucky and get a guy, you know, somebody that's bidding that's in at least in the top 10, you still could get yourself a quality player. Look at Dallas, you know, with that Parsons, they picked, you know, did a draft. I mean, you know, Poles, it's going to be really a big year for Poles. I mean,
huge year for Poles. Thanks for the phone call, Frank.
Absolutely, Frank. I mean, this is the thing. That is the, you know, the reality is, you can get a player in the draft anywhere you select. You can get great players all over the draft.
How about CeeDee Lamb?
But you got to be pretty damn good at knowing what a player looks like.
CeeDee Lamb, 17th.
That's not bad.
He had a pretty good surge here this season.
What was Justin Jefferson? Where did he fall?
22nd.
I mean, how would you like him on your
Micah
offense?
Micah Parsons.
Yeah, he was like, what was
after
he?
After Fields.
Yeah, of course.
So I think you look at
examples. You can get players, but you got to know what you're doing. And we're not at a point yet. It'll take draft classes to evaluate how the draft
and
team has worked.
Not to trigger you again, but I think that
is it about the happy, joyful?
Yeah, it's when. So let me say this: when you hear Ryan Poles talk about the positivity that he referenced before the game in an interview with Jeff Joniak, I think it triggered you because we have not seen reason to believe in him yet. There's not enough evidence to buy into
that
he's going to be the guy that you trust to fix this, so you don't want him to praise the players who won't be here for their attitude and contributions. Is that accurate?
I mean, the reality is, if you have guys that, you know, either you're going to be out of the league or we're going to give you a chance, man, they're really remaining upbeat and positive. What else are they going to do? That is the life situation they're in. It's not like you're managing a bunch of, you know, really talented but kind of half angry guys, or, you know, there were six more arrests. When you have guys that are on the edge of staying in the league, they're gonna be good citizens, and they're gonna remain positive, and they're gonna work their rear ends off. You know why? They have no other choice. And so I'm not gonna sit here and feel like, yeah, rah, rah, look how great this group is. You came in with a team that you wanted to lose with, and you're losing with them.
Okay.
So congratulations on that. But don't act like you did some, what a great moral fiber, great character.
Not devil's advocate, but counterpoint.
Okay.
So You're right about what you're saying there, but there was a choice, and they could have chosen to try to load up this locker room with cast-off veterans, guys who might not be as likely to buy in, and guys whose attitude might foster a more negative culture. You're worried about one thing if you're – and you're worried about many things, but among the things you're worried about in your first season of a new regime – is creating this positive culture and some getting some character guys. They may not be here beyond next week. Nobody's guaranteed that. But you don't want somebody to come here in their short time and pollute the situation with any negativity. So you're trying to keep things going in the right direction, talking a positive, and all the while you have designed the season to be a losing one.
This is a league where Deshaun Watson played over the weekend.
Oh, God.
Okay?
Oh,
that's God. The league that you're in. Just in case anyone gets confused. 312-644-6767.
You're trying to trigger me.
I know.
Stop
you
it.
You can respond to that when we return. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
The great Getsy.
Aggressive.
B-E-A-G-G-R-E-S-S-I-V-E. Be aggressive.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Packers in nickel. Nixon is on the slot receiver to the near side. That's Pettis. Second down and 11 from the 44-yard line. Here is a read option, and what a move by Fields. Breaks free to 50. Away he goes. Justin's gone, baby. 10-5, end zone. He's done it again. Let it roar, Chicago, because your quarterback just ripped up a 56-yard touchdown gallop.
Okay, baby, that is the great clip of the week. And right now, just be the sixth caller to the Scores contest line. That number, 312-540-0670. You could win a Chicago football shirt. That's courtesy of Great Clips. It's great to listen to a great clip from yesterday's game. Great Clips. It's gonna be great.
Justin's gone, baby. He's Justin, done it again.
Justin is gone, baby.
He's done it again.
I'm glad that he scored, but don't call me baby.
He did do it again. That was an outstanding play. Four Packers had a chance to make a tackle on that run, and four Packers failed miserably to get the job done. And then he kicked it into another gear. Thought it was funny post-game when he was asked about his speed, and he said he wanted to get up to 21 miles per hour. No longer yards per second. We're talking miles per hour. And by the way, Christian Watson did get up to 21.7, I think, on that jet sweep. Well, fastest run of the season, I think, in the NFL.
Yeah, the Bears were certainly planted while
they certainly
he ran
were.
Past them. So.
They looked slow on that play.
Yeah, they did. Rough one. Yeah. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, I think because we talked earlier about Tom Thayer, his comment. I asked him a question about the timeout that Matt Eberflus used on 4th and 4 at the 14 with 30 seconds to go in the first half. And this is what Tom had to say about that.
No, but, you know, I think some of those decisions are out of Matt's hands. I think that he has an advisor that makes those decisions for him according to the analytics of, you know, how things should be run according to the book. So I don't know if they ever, you know, freelance some of that decisions. I do think they're going by the exact measure of, you know, how things are charted and, you know, what, you know, like I said, how analytics now play a part in the game.
Dan Bernstein will be delighted.
I am not, if that's true. I am not. I would not like that. If that is the case, that's overly intrusive. Well, you do not want that at that time.
But what if it was Robot Bigsby?
I think Robot Bigsby would be fine. I think Robot from the press box. I could see
Brad,
him.
What do we do here, Brad? What do we do?
Morning, boys. What's going on?
No,
have time for hello.
I would take advice from Robot Bigsby because – Robot Bigsby on a Sunday is somebody you'd want to take advice from. Molly, I don't understand.
I'm with you. It's weird.
I appreciate where Tom's coming from, and I know that he means what he said. I don't accept the fact that you have a head coach that when he makes a decision like that, it's not on him. It's got to be on him. He's got to be the head coach.
You are literally pounding the table.
I am pounding the table. I literally did pound the table there. I don't think that you want to necessarily need – I didn't get the question answered yesterday either from Matt Eberflus. I don't know why they called timeout there. They allowed the Packers to come up with their best play. They allowed maybe the Bears defense to get their best personnel on the field perhaps. Hmm. But there wasn't a situation
– What the heck was that?
What was that?
Holy cow.
Something just...
Did you see me jump?
Yeah, I did see you jump.
Like, what? I immediately got into like a karate man pose.
What happened there?
I don't know, but someone could have gotten hurt. Honestly, something just collapsed somewhere.
I don't know what collapsed.
Did you guys hear that?
I heard it and I looked up. I mean, is there anything laying around you right now?
There's a body. Does that count? No, there's. I don't know. I don't know what that
something fell out below me. I think it was. Yeah.
It was the banging.
It was.
That's what happened. He was pounding the table.
I barely pounded the table.
You pounded it with your shoe.
Maybe it had something to do with your read.
All right, that's it.
We digress.
I'm sure that will sound funny because I did. Let out kind of a
you did
surprised yell.
And
go ahead.
You're overstating how much I pounded the desk. I was just kind of.
Now you're like gently touching.
I don't want to touch anything else. I don't want to trigger
this whole building is coming down.
It's coming down. But why the timeout there? Why then? What was the purpose? It wasn't because of analytics. Analytics is whether or not to punt on 4th and 5 at the 47. Or whether or not to kick a field goal when you're down a certain number of points or go for two. I don't know how analytics enters into call a timeout on 4th and 4 from the 14 with 30 seconds left. Why do you want to get the ball back? You want to force their hand? They were clearly going to go for it. They just had gone for it the previous series on 4th and 7.
Okay, I'm shaking a little bit. Let's get back to the phone lines. Ralph's on the north side. Hey, Ralph.
Been a long time, guys.
Hey, Ralph.
The last time I called was on the day they hired Eberflus. I called him Eberflus that day. Eberflus is what he is, okay? I was upset when he got hired in the first place because I wanted Daboll and Sean. That's the winning combination, an offensive-minded head coach and a great GM. You hire this guy who's a defensive coach who's playing a scheme that's been basically out of favor for 10 years, and it was out of favor in the Super Bowl in 2006 when you had the greatest middle linebacker in terms of coverage in the middle of the field impossible, and it still didn't work. And you had Pro Bowlers all over the field on defense on the verge of Hall of Famers, and it didn't work. So now you bring this guy in here with a bunch of bums, and this is what he's going to run. It's what he's going to keep running. And as soon as they get a decent offensive OC and it turns out, well, he's going to be gone and he's going to get a head coaching job, and it's going to be the same thing over and over, and it's going to be another 10 years of misery, and I'm sick of it. It's going to be Eberflus, I guarantee it.
Thanks, Ralph. Appreciate the phone call. It's totally unfair. I think it's totally unfair.
But consistent.
We appreciate him listening and the view only being reinforced in his mind by 10 losses, but I don't think that I'm at the point where I'm blaming much of this on Matt Eberflus. And I'm not going to give him a nickname he doesn't deserve.
Is he going along with it?
Is he going along with the program?
The lose program. They're gonna lose 14 consecutive.
What else can he do?
Okay.
I think he's coaching this team
as hard as he can.
Yeah. And trying to maintain a positive perspective throughout it. And that can't be easy. And I don't want to take it for granted how much that is just expected out of him. There are guys who would handle – there are coaches that we both know and probably have covered that would not handle the adversity Matt Eberflus has handled with the degree of professionalism he's done that with. Do you disagree with that? Because I think it's incomplete. We don't know. I said it last week, and I reinforce it today. We don't know what kind of game day coach he really is because it's not fair to judge him with the talent he has.
I totally agree with that. But it's also, you know, the reality is, whether it's his fault or whoever's fault it is, whomever, the reality is that those losses go on his record.
Yep.
The reality is they're 3-10. And that's what you've produced thus far. I think everyone feels they've done some good things. They figured out something with the quarterback. They've doubled down on that. You feel good about some of the things that are going on offense. I don't know that you watch them and feel like they're a competitive team. That's just the reality of where they're at with their defense.
You don't watch them and think they're a competitive team. I'll agree with you. That defense is so limited that it's hard to come to that conclusion. And then next thing you know, in a lot of these losses, they're in it till the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but I mean, David, go for it on 4th and 8th. Oh yeah, that who cares? Go for it on 4th and 4th. Hey, you know, go for every 4th down. Who cares? They're no good. That's an insult to you if you're a defensive player in the NFL.
No doubt. And I think that you understand why they would be easily insulted. Or why teams wouldn't be afraid to do that because of the limitations. All I'm saying is that the Bears have 10 losses, and now we're becoming experts at dissecting every loss and how they lost, and it's becoming more of a habit for them and for us. But in many of those losses, I think most of them, those are close games, but ultimately a team with no margin for error makes a mistake, and it costs them a victory.
I tell you, I'm upset that we can't take any more calls because I want to keep going here. There is some interesting stuff being said, and we have a lot of texters that think that Ralph is kind of has dragged us down. That we need to be happier, and they're very positive in the locker room, despite the fact that they've now lost 6 straight games. And you know, look, the fact is that. That Matt Nagy lost 6 straight games and he was trying to win.
Right.
They lost 5 straight games last year and they were trying, they had to win. And now they've lost 6 straight games. I just look forward to seasons where that doesn't happen. And I think we really all do. Hopeful that they get to that point.
I think we all do.
Yeah. It's just hard to kind of maintain your equilibrium as these things become kind of repetitive, frankly.
It's been a long season, and there's still four games left.
Yeah.
And that's a threat more than a promise.
But they got the bye this week,
oh,
baby.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they got the entire week off.
That's right.
How about that?
Fields can do it again, baby. Don't call me baby.
Baby.
We'll take a break. We're going to bring in Dan and Lawrence, and we'll get a chance to chew it over with them.
I'm going to fix the desk.
David is going to repair whatever damage he's done. I'm going to yell, as a texter said, I yelled like Homer Simpson. Don't!
Oh!
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Mully and Hall on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.